episode 125 of the TV Dudes podcast, recorded March 23rd, 2017. Iron Fist of Love. What do you think about that, Randy?
I like it. Let's do it.
You know, I wanted to just call this Iron Fist.
And I pointed out that we're not just covering one show. We are covering two big Netflix shows, as well as many other shows. But Iron Fist of Love is just a great title. In fact, I think the show just merged the two shows.
Yeah, it's just Iron Fist of Love. It's funny because in the show Iron Fist, there's a point where someone says, Iron Fist just sounds like a sex toy.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm like, I'm glad you guys acknowledged that finally in episode 8. But yeah, gross.
It's funny watching the show. I was thinking like, how did this guy ever hang out with Power Man? And then I was like, oh, wait, I guess if you have a name like Iron Fist, that sounds like he'd be a friend of Power Man.
Yeah.
They just fit together.
Power Man and Iron Fist is a great title that fits together just really well.
Yeah. It sounds like a romantic gay comedy.
It kind of does, which would have been better than what Iron Fist was.
Very, very true. Hey, folks, we are going to be discussing a bunch of shows, which means we're probably going to cut out our news segment, I think.
A fistful of shows.
Yes, no news this week. Nothing has happened.
Nothing has happened of import. But we are going to be discussing Legion. We're going to go ahead and talk about Trial and Error, this new NBC comedy. We're going to hit on American Gods, which Ooh. Kyle and I got to see an early preview of at South by Southwest.
Hey, what's that, listeners? Listeners and Randy, you guys haven't seen it? Oh, too bad.
So spoilers.
Yep, we're going to give you the skinny on that, but we're not going to do spoilers, so please stay tuned.
I'm spoiling everything.
You sons of bitches.
Spoiling everything.
Oh, I cannot guarantee what Kyle's going to do here. We're going to be talking about Love over on Netflix, which dropped last week or 2 weeks ago, I guess.
Yep.
And then Iron Fist just dropped this week.
Yep.
And Legion, of course, we're gonna have to wrap up on that.
Oh my gosh!
Because holy shit!
Yeah. Most satisfying episode, I think.
Right.
Starting off. We'll get more into it, but just so satisfying.
But before all that, we are the TV Dudes. I am Grant.
I'm Randy.
And I'm Kyle.
And hey, if you guys want to support us, you can go over to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, give us a review, write a little review on there. We will read that here on the show. You can also support us if you go over to patreon.com/TVDudes. There you guys can make a per episode pledge. Give us a buck or two per episode, and in exchange you get bonus exclusive content, which is usually podcasts. And this week, Kyle and I are going to be regaling you with our week-long experience at South by Southwest.
Dun-da-da-da!
And I'm going to be calling them hipsters the whole time, because I didn't get to go.
You're going to call us hipsters?
I'm going to just be griping at you about how awesome it was that you got to go to South by Southwest. And
pull up your trousers, you hipsters. Is that even like a diss anymore?
Is that a hipster thing?
I don't know.
We saw the epitome of hipster, a little spoiler for the Patreon. The guy who was dressed like a nerd, but was also doing Cirque du Soleil stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Lagunitas party. His TI-83 almost fell out of his pocket from a height of like 80 feet.
Okay. All right.
It was absurd. Anyway.
But Grant,
no,
you forgot a third way.
Oh, fine. In which people can support us. Way?
And honestly, I'm surprised that you wouldn't have seen this at South by Southwest, because it seems like the kind of the hipsters love. Street Puppet Theater.
Street Puppet Theater.
We have 125 episodes now, more if you go back before we started this format.
Yeah.
And you could reenact that with street puppets. For the people.
You want someone to recreate 125 podcast episodes in street puppet theater?
Look, I'm not saying they have to they don't have to do 125. You could just do like 50. Pick your favorite 50.
You know, I do feel like you're onto something with street puppet theater making a comeback.
I think so.
I think we should start # what's your TV Dudes fave 50. Top 50 episodes of the TV Dudes.
Oh, yeah.
Find out who our real fans are.
And then we'll issue the restraining orders.
I don't have a favorite 50.
Oh, man. I don't remember anything. No. I only remember what we recorded 2 weeks ago.
I don't even remember what I'm doing here.
Yeah. What are you? Well, it's your house.
Oh, right.
That's why we're here.
That's right.
The Seinfeld Patreon. Number 1 through 50.
All right. And we also want to give a little pug.
A little pug? A little dog?
Ooh, maybe dog. It's funny I said that pugs. Because I got pugs on the mind.
Oh.
I went over to our local Pint House Pizza, and really I shouldn't be saying this on the podcast, but I went over to the Pint House Pizza for lunch the other day, and they had a rescue pug thing there. It was very cute. Nice. And we got to see some pugs. And if I could have a dog, guys, I would totally have a pug.
You should have a dog.
They have terrible nose problems, and my wife's super allergic to dogs, so that's why I don't have a dog. But I love pugs.
Yep. Need to get one of those hyperallergenic dogs.
Those things
are pretty.
I feel like my wife also might hate dogs, so it's just either way, it's a no dog house.
By the way, a fourth way you can support us would be to get pugs and dress them up like the TV dudes.
Oh my God!
You know how John Oliver has that little dog Supreme Court? Just like you know, a few pugs that you dress up in TV dudes costumes and
that
reenact shows.
That lobster edition, by the way, is brilliant. Do you guys see the lobster?
Yes, lobster. Yes.
Oh my gosh!
So anyway, I misspoke and we've gone off in a tangent here.
Tangent land.
But I was going to give a plug for our fellow podcast on our podcast network, the Permanent Record Network.
Permanent Record.
So good every time, guys. And this month, we are plugging all month Marvel TV Binge. These are our friends Mike Moody, Martin Thomas, and Nate Bliss each week, I think. It's weekly.
It's weekly.
They are talking about a different Marvel show, or now they're in competition between Legion, which is still wrapping up, and trying to cover Iron Fist.
I believe in that competition. Legion is kicking Iron Fist's ass.
Yes. Yes. I believe in fictional real life, those two Legion would kick his ass.
Yeah, that's probably true. There's actually no realm in which Iron Fist wins that fight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he can make his fist glow.
Yeah.
But he could be completely dismantled or crumpled into...
Good Lord. Yeah.
I'll give you this one, Netflix Iron Fist. You'd make a great addition. Yeah. We got a spot for you on the roster if that's what you're into.
Anyway, they're over at marveltvbinge.com or at permanentrcrd.com. Go check them out.
Permanentrcrd.com.
RCRD.
That's ridiculous. And let's move on to our listener questions. So, if you guys like us on Facebook, once a week, Randy's been putting up little posts asking for your questions, and we got a good slew of them this week. First one, should I do it?
Dun, dun,
first
dun,
one
dun,
comes
dun,
to us from
dun, dun, dun.
The, oh, you want me to go
I
to that
think
one?
You go there first.
Oh, of course.
People are dying for the story. It's the drama.
The saga continues.
The saga continues.
I think you should close out with that other one.
Okay. Nick Thies has the continuation of the Game of Thrones revenge plot, which he says has taken an unexpected turn. I tried to watch the first episode of Iron Fist with my friend, and I found that I could not log into my Netflix account. While I was trying to figure out what was wrong, my friend whispered in my ear, "Hail Hydra." The crafty bastard got my roommate to change our Netflix password. I would ask for some revenge ideas, but he did end up watching Iron Fist. I think that is punishment enough. Instead, could you suggest some other martial arts based shows for us to watch? Thanks, TV dudes.
So the obvious thing we got to talk about is Into the Badlands, which I don't know if anybody here has seen. Has anybody here actually watched it?
I only watched the pilot, actually.
I haven't seen it. It looks really cool, though.
I want to watch it because everybody is saying that Into the Badlands has, like, the fight scenes that Iron Fist should have.
That was about it from what I remember from the pilot. Because everything else was like, what is going on? It's so weird.
I have some friends who really swear by it who said they really liked it. So maybe one of those that the deeper it went in. The season one is all on Netflix. Season two just started. So, you know, if Netflix would stop releasing a new show every week, I might catch up on that at some point.
Sure.
You know a really great show with some awesome martial arts fighting in it? Have you guys ever seen Daredevil season one?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, these are the same guys that gave us that hallway fight.
Exactly.
What the fuck are you doing here?
I know. You know how an awesome fight looks.
Yep.
If your fight doesn't look like that, keep working.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. I mean, I can't think of, like, what, Kung Fu The Legend Continues? Chuck Norris shows?
Alias had great fight scenes. Alias had great martial arts.
Great fight scenes.
It was comedic, but actually Chuck had pretty good fight scenes.
Yes.
Huh. Yeah.
I remember they had some great fight choreography.
And I feel like it's a different thing, but the fights on the Americans when they go that route are brutal and awesome. But
have you seen Family Guy when they'll do a bit that has fight scenes in it? There's a great fight scene between a chicken and Peter.
There is
amazing.
That extended fight between the Peter and chicken is better than anything that Iron Fist did.
Yes, it's true.
And that
but
is
it's
more
better than most things.
Yes, that's true. That's fair. That's fair.
So good luck with your continuing saga of Game of Thrones, and please keep us up to date.
Absolutely.
Nick. We're loving it. Next question comes to us from Kyle Volte, who says, "Hey, TV dudes. After binging Iron Fist on Netflix, I was noodling around and found Samurai Gourmet, a rather chill series about a newly retired Japanese office worker who, in adjusting to his new life, finds joy in eating. Oh, and he imagines a samurai warrior as his alter ego as he moves through his day. It was a surprisingly charming show with unexpected food porn thrown in as you see his meals prepared. So what was the last, where did that come from, show you found?"
First of all, I'm looking up to make sure that's a real show.
Because, Samurai Gourmet?
Because it, okay, that does exist. Just making sure, because I thought it was possible. Kyle was like, they're never going to check. Because that sounds crazy, and now I kind of want to watch it.
Do you remember that movie Sidekicks that had Chuck Norris?
Hell yeah, I remember Sidekicks.
And it was that Chuck Norris was a figment of this sad loser kid's imagination at school.
Well, he's like a fantasy, like Last Action Hero, kind of.
Yeah.
Where there was a real Chuck Norris, but the kid in the show, he would imagine he was on adventures with Chuck Norris.
That kid, the real actor, died early.
Oh.
Oh, no. Wasn't he on Sequest, too? In, like, a ton of stuff back then?
I don't know. I just wanted to really end that little anecdote on a super depressing note.
What if it was not fiction? What if that kid was always seeing Chuck Norris?
Oh, my God.
And he got in the wrong fight?
he made the dream movie, though. Yes. Addressing his issue.
But the weird thing is, I can't think of a show. The last time I found a show, I was like, where'd that come from? Because mostly, I'm pretty much planning ahead what I'm watching like 2 months ahead now.
I remember when we first saw True Detective, all of us were like, holy shit, yeah, where'd this come from?
Yeah.
Stranger Things also popped up on all of our radar.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah.
The collective consciousness radar at the same time is like, what the fuck?
Actually, you know what? Think about it. The one we're going to talk about later, Trial and Error. The only reason that popped, it happened to run, I don't know where I saw the ad for it because I don't get ads on my Hulu, but I saw the ad. And I saw John Lithgow, and I'm like, this looks like a stupid NBC comedy. And somebody mentioned that it had a bit of a Parks and Rec vibe for him, and I watched it, and I loved it. But that was one that I would never have watched that show. So that one just kind of randomly popped up for me, I guess.
I do not have a good answer to this question.
It's like that where did that come from could go in any different way.
Yeah.
Remember that show Chosen? That cartoon on FX? What were they thinking with that?
That was the worst.
Saw like rapper Paul Wall and said, we should make a gay version of that animated. I like, what was that decision?
Yeah.
Bobby Moynihan, I think, was the
voice. Yeah.
That was a terrible show.
That was a terrible show.
Where did that show come from?
That's a good point. Yeah, it's a different way.
Next question. Let's just move on. Zach McLernan says, so what are your thoughts on the news that Always Sunny in Philadelphia is most likely either going to go on hiatus for a few years or that instead Glenn Howerton is going to leave the show for a while or possibly forever?
It bumps me out because they've been on a high and they had a great season this season. I mean, I can't complain if we only get 12 seasons of It's Always Sunny. You know?
They've been renewed for like through season 15. Yeah.
But if they decide they're not going to go on, I just assume they'd make that decision as opposed to the network. But the other thing is, like, it's weird to me that he seems to be like maybe being on the outs because he's doing another pilot. And I'm like, you know, Caitlin Olsen's doing The Mick. Like, why can't you do two shows?
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if maybe there's friction or they just kind of want to do other things finally.
Maybe, but he said there, well, of course they would, but he said there wasn't, like, this isn't about them, they're all getting together, great, but...
Well, and you got to think that it probably is playing into his head, like, they are on a level right now that, I mean, I would say it's probably the highest I've seen the show, and he's probably like, damn, you know, we can either try to one-up this or we can, you know, quit while we're ahead.
He sees every time there's a Guardians of the Galaxy trailer, he's like, that could have been me. I could have been fucking Star-Lord, but I'm held back by these other guys. I don't know if that's true. I mean, we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah,
those guys are all mad talented, and hopefully they'll find time in their spare time to just crank out another season.
Well, the other thing is, the other question is, if they did it without Dennis, I think you could totally do Always Sunny without Dennis. There's plenty. I mean, you could do it. There's plenty of other characters.
They have such a great balance, those guys.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
Maybe they up Cricket for a season.
Yeah. I just you could do a whole season where Dennis is on the run because he's being hunted for all his murders.
Or a whole season where Dennis is in jail and you shoot all of his scenes one day at the beginning of the season from a jail cell.
There you go.
Yeah.
Benjamin Hanimal says, "Hey dudes, are there any TV shows that you enjoyed overall, but find that they have that one season that just blows you away? For example, I watched Spartacus. It was an over-the-top and very fun show. But that first season just blows me away and might be one of my favorite seasons of TV ever. It uses that over-the-top violence to tell a very serious story about love, fate, power, and friendship. Or even when I think back on Sons of Anarchy, that second season is pretty great." Very true, dude. That second season and the first season were both pretty solid on Sons of Anarchy.
Really?
And Spartacus? Did you guys ever see that first season?
No, I never did.
It's bug nuts bonkers, but it's also like it starts off where you're like, this is dumb. And you're like, I can't stop watching. This is dumb.
Yep.
And you're like, man, this is maybe it's not so dumb. Damn, this is good. What the fuck's going on in this show?
I was asking before we recorded about Justified. Because I was thinking season 3 with Limehouse and all that stuff. But then Grant reminded me season 2.
Season 2?
And season 2 is easily the best season of Justified. I love that whole show.
The
but
Bennett's,
season 2.
Ma Bennett.
Is, yeah, season 2 is the best.
And Applejack.
Yep.
You know, I'd probably say UK Broadchurch. Or I guess it wasn't called Broadchurch when they brought it to America. So just Broadchurch.
No, it was called Broadchurch when they brought it to America.
I thought they changed the name.
No, it even featured the same dude.
Yeah.
Tennant.
Who's that guy?
David Tennant.
No, Broadchurch is one where I love the first season, and I, you know, would have loved the show like going on, but then that second season came around, and one, it was just as good as the first season, but then again, I was so surprised, like, with a show like that, where, you know, you solve the murder, you think that's the end of it, then they go, and they really did a great job of upping the ante, and now there's going to be a third season, or it's already out there.
I'm need to catch season two. I really love season one, and I want to go in. I've heard nothing but good.
Do you know
season
the two. Premise just real quick?
I only know that there's like the trial is going on.
So it's the trial for the murder they solved in the first season.
Yeah.
But then you know that murder that David Tennant always talks about in the first season that he never solved?
Yeah.
That's the murder that they're trying to solve the second
interesting.
Season. Okay. Yeah. And, you know, part of it makes it even more interesting than that first season one.
Hmm. I got to say, of course, Lost season one is just the greatest season of all time. Terror season two was really great.
You son of a bitch. You son of a bitch.
But on a more serious note, Dexter season four with John Lithgow.
I almost said that.
Yeah.
Like, Trinity Killer thing. That was an amazing season of that show. Yeah. And it kind of marked the peak before the decline.
Mm-hmm. It was actually kind of the finale of the show, right? They never made any more after that?
That's a good way to
remember. If we never had that season four, I think everybody would like that Colin Hanks season way more. But the thing is, they just did a lot of the stuff that they had already done.
That Colin Hanks one was problematic.
It would have been way better if we didn't have that season four.
Yeah.
And then I also wanted to say The Shield season four with Forrest Whitaker.
Oh, man.
Was that season four? I want to say it was season four.
You're right that it was season four because season three was Glenn Close, right? No. I forget which one, but I know which one you're talking about. Yeah, the
season
one
season two was Anthony Mackie. Season three, Glenn Close. Season four, Forrest Whitaker.
Anthony Anderson, not Anthony Mackie.
Anthony Anderson.
Different.
Anthony Mackie.
Anthony Mackie's
the Falcon.
Yeah, the Falcon was not in The Shield. Although,
was that racist of me?
Ant-Man's buddy Michael Peña was because he was Shane's partner.
Oh, okay. There we go.
I feel like Glenn Close was first and then Forrest Whitaker, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was season four.
Yeah. Anyway,
but, man, that was great a season of TV. One. Yeah. The Wire season four. Since Greg's not here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like season four is the best season of The Wire.
Yeah.
I know it's a weird callback, but Chuck that I just mentioned, Chuck season two was like the best that show ever got. That was where they really delved into the character stuff. They introduced Jeffster. They did some really fun stuff. And the show never really got as good as it was in season two.
Hmm.
Actually, season two is pretty good of a lot of shows, I would say.
Yeah.
You know it'd be the best season of Big Bang Theory?
Season negative one?
Their last season. I can't wait for their last season. It's going to be so good.
Michael Gassini says, "So we all know who some of the greatest showrunners are, but who are the worst? I think we can add Scott Buck from Iron Fist and the crap season of Dexter to that list."
Yeah, I agree. Scott Buck. I mean, We really don't have enough to judge him on, but he's not looking good.
Which season of Dexter did he do?
The last two.
Yeah, oh, the 30th,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, when they're not good, you kind of don't talk about them.
Chuck Lorre.
Well.
Is it Lorre? Or is it Lorre?
It's Lorre.
Okay.
I mean,
he's successful.
Yeah.
But he makes garbage. Only garbage.
But he makes profitable garbage.
But it's still garbage. Two Broke Girls. Two and a Half Men.
I agree with you. Big Bang Theory.
That's three terrible shows.
All right. Chuck Lorre. We're calling you out.
I actually did a search for people to see what people said.
Really?
And it was funny because, of course, in like the second one, somebody says Joss Whedon, he's overrated. And then someone's like J.J. Abrams. And I'm like, okay, you guys are the worst.
I got a good one.
What?
McG.
I
love McG shows.
You like McG shows?
Fastlane was awesome.
I like The O.C. That's about it. But you guys didn't like The O.C.
I didn't even know what McG made. Except for the Charlie Angels movie and the X3 or something.
And the Terminator movie is famous for when Christian Bale had the freak out.
Oh, shit. You know what else McG's involved in?
What?
Chuck.
Oh, is he really?
Oh, really?
Yep.
Why are you bringing up Chuck for everything?
I don't know. That was Kyle's fault.
We're moving on to a next question.
All right.
Sorry, McG. I didn't mean it.
Ross Brown says, which two cops from separate shows would you love to see team up?
Yeah, go.
Perfect freaking answer. Agent Coulson and Agent Carter.
Yes. Are they cops?
They're federal agents.
I'm being a little loose with it.
I want to see McNulty team up with, how about Riggs from Lethal Weapon?
Ooh.
Why not? There we go. I don't know.
Since I watch a ton of British crime, I will go throw back David Tennant with Idris Elba.
Oh,
a little Broadchurch Luther crossover.
Jake Peralta. And Hal Linden's, what was their cop show? Barney Miller. Jake Peralta and Barney Miller.
That'd be a dream come true for him.
Yeah.
Ooh. Matlock and Jessica Jones.
Nice. No.
Oh, they're Matlock, not police officers.
Matlock and Jessica, who from Murder, She Wrote.
Oh, Jessica Fletcher.
Jessica Fletcher. Matlock and Jessica Fletcher. Solving old people crime.
All right. Two more questions here. First one is from Paul Mampilli, who says, who are your favorite religious leaders on TV? Mine is definitely Ted Crilly from Father Ted and Rabbi Krustofsky from The Simpsons.
Ooh, Father Ted. Good call out.
You know, I don't remember the name of him, but the performance by the guy who created... wow, I'm just blanking on all words right now. I'm sorry.
Yes, uh-huh.
But Deadwood, the priest from the first season of Deadwood, really he went on to make Rectify. He's the guy who's the show creator for Rectify.
That's right, yeah.
And I can't remember the actor's name / showrunner, but he was fantastic as that priest in that season.
I feel like there should be an answer here. Like, I'm trying to think of like inspirational speeches by preachers in TV that I've seen. I can't come up with one.
I got two.
Okay, yeah.
I don't think you guys were big fans, but I really, really liked Young Pope.
Yeah.
It came around and towards the end of the season. Like, it did a lot of stuff I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
You really like Jude Law, because it's kind of a ridiculous show. Actually, that's probably a good answer for the question earlier. Like, it seemed ridiculous. Like, how could you ever like this? And then the more you learn about the character, you're like, oh, no. He's disguised as this ridiculous idea, this young guy, but really he's like an ultra conservative and like way worse than everybody else. But then when you get to the end, you realize, no, he's actually somewhere in the middle, and he's kind of, the character's kind of brilliant in that way. But the other one is, I really liked, he's a villain, but was it Roman from Big Love or Ronan?
Oh, I think it was Roman.
Yeah, what a badass villain.
Yeah, he was great.
That's an excellent
He was like the
call.
Leader of the religious, the Mormon compound.
Yeah. And a good reminder about Big Love. Remember that show?
Yeah, remember that show.
Oh, Bill Paxton. R.I.P.
All right, last question. This one comes to us from our Fearless Podcast Network leader of the Permanent Record.
Permanent Record.
Podcast Network. This is Mike Moody, who says, did Kyle or Grant get arrested for jerking in the theater while watching American Gods premiere? And thank you, Kyle, for asking that, because yes, one of us did. It was Kyle.
No lie, this is going to sound like I'm making it up, but my dick actually did play a big role in the American Gods premiere.
No lie.
So we get to the end of the premiere. This is a true story. We get to the end.
I'm terrified of this story.
And the Q&A comes up, and I am not sitting through the Q&A because I have to piss so bad. All right.
Penis.
So anyways, I get up and I run out of the theater. All right. I actually gave the guy my comment card, but I didn't fill it out. I just folded it up and shoved it in there because I had to pee so bad.
Here's comment right. Gotta pee.
Yeah. I run out the front door. Okay. I don't get like 2 feet out of the door. I'm running for the bathroom and I have a giant microphone stuck in my face with an NPR thing around it and some girl with headphones. Hi, can I interview you and have you on NPR later? Blah, blah, blah. Oh. And here I am sitting like having to piss so bad.
Did you do it?
And here, yes, I do an NPR interview about American Gods where I have to piss so bad.
Holy shit.
And here's the thing. I get halfway through before I realized I was talking about Noah Hawley the whole time.
Oh, man.
I was like, you know, I'm excited about what happens with Fargo. And
wrong guy. Wrong
and then
guy.
We get to the end and she's like, oh, I don't know if I can use this. That's that's the wrong guy. And I'm like, well, screw you. And then I just ran to the bathroom. Yeah.
Sir, I can see that you really have to pee, but could you please tell me real quick, you just saw American Gods at South by Southwest.
Oh, yeah. No, the Fargo guy, like, no, I think it's great what they're doing with the X-Men franchise.
Sir, and I have to stop you. I feel like you've made a mistake.
What? Noah Hawley, right? That guy?
No, you pissed yourself, sir. I just watched you piss yourself. I have no problem with confusing Noah Hawley and Brian Fuller.
I kind of prefer my pants this way.
So we're going to start talking about American Gods, which Kyle and I got to go see. With your belly aching, Randy. Kyle and I got to go to South by Southwest, and we also got to see the world premiere of the pilot for American Gods. It started with a little shout out from Neil Gaiman.
Oh, that was cool.
It was like, yo, guys, I can't be there. He's probably making that other show that just got greenlit, too.
He's probably afraid to come to America.
He's probably afraid to get on the flight.
How serious was he, though, for like a short, like 5 minute, like, here's my show. He gets on and it's like his face big on the screen. He's like, hello, South by Southwest. You're about to enter a story. A story about gods. he was really just like,
he's a little too self-serious about this.
He was into it.
Yeah, he was like,
all right.
So I was not familiar with this story beforehand, were you, Kyle?
A little bit.
Did you like read the book?
The story is very familiar. Well, the story to me, I did not read the book. I've had a bunch of people that are fans of the book like talk me through it. But there's this Image comic I like. Is it The Wicked and the Divine? Or? Yeah,
Wicked and Divine.
Yeah, which a lot of similarities between the two. Granted, I'm not as big on American Gods, but the two like always had this overlap. And when we actually went into this, I forgot which one I was going to see at first.
Oh, yeah.
They remind you pretty quick, though.
This is sort of a surreal concept to try and explain. So this takes place in modern day, and it has a bunch of fictional, or however you want to term it, gods have been manifested, I guess, in real people's bodies, but you don't know who's a god and who isn't necessarily in this drama starting off.
I'm pretty sure Kanye West is a god.
Kanye West is the only character you see in this whole show. It's really weird. We start off following this character named Shadow Moon, and you know, if Shadow Moon isn't that guy's name, he's got to be a god, right?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. But
it's a very Neil Gaiman name.
Yeah.
I do love, though, that because you know, the show starts in like Shadow Moon. You're like, what the? And then they do pay a little lip service to be like, he probably had some hippie parents.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
some flower child parents.
Yeah, I think so.
So Shadow Moon is this dude who's in prison for aggravated assault or something. While he's in prison, his wife dies.
Yep.
And he gets out and is going to the funeral. And while he's trying to head down south to go to the funeral, he runs into Al Swearengen, a.k.a. Mr. Wednesday, a.k.a. what's the actor's name?
That is Ian McShane.
Ian McShane.
A.k.a. my new favorite, like, Q&A celebrity.
Dude. Oh, was he there?
He yeah. was. Everybody was
you
there.
You sons of bitches.
He just was killing it. That guy, like, whatever he says, everyone's just captivated by his every word. And he's just so chill and laid back about everything.
He no lie comes out, like, afterwards, everybody's clapping. He goes, stop, everybody, stop. I just gotta say, I haven't seen this before. This is badass, right? This is not just me, right? This show's really good.
It was pretty awesome.
Was he possibly high?
Yeah, I can't vouch for that.
I mean, he played it pretty lucid. Yeah. So anyway, this guy runs into this Mr. Wednesday character who seems to be like a, I don't want to say gangster, but some sort of like shady businessman.
Yeah.
And the shady businessman's like, hey, you shouldn't even bother going to that funeral. I'm going to recruit you. I want you to kind of roll with me. There's something bigger afoot. And from there, he's like, he eventually, I guess, kind of like is going to be his disciple and like, or assistant or heavy. I'm not sure what it is,
mm-hmm.
but
his muscle.
They run into a whole suite of other bizarre characters who seem larger than life. Probably appropriately so, since the show's called American Gods.
Yep.
And, I mean, yeah, I'm not really sure where everything's going to go. I don't want to spoil too much about it. I mean, this is really just kind of the mm-hmm. basic intro, but it's going to be, I'm guessing, at least a story of those two and how they run into other characters in this world where...
If it's like the book, I'm going to guess it's going to be kind of an ensemble. Mr. Wednesday's a big part of it. But let me ask you guys a question, mm-hmm. non-spoilery. This is on Stars. Do they go fairly extreme with the, like, sex and... Is there, and again, this is only a spoiler if you've read the book, is there a pretty notable sex scene you've never seen on television?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Everyone in the theater lost their shit and so, applauded this one sex scene.
So for those of you who have read American Gods, they went there.
And it's in the pilot?
Yeah.
And part of me is like, which one are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, right?
There's a couple.
Okay, yeah. All right.
But there's one that is like, what the fuck? And it's pretty amazing.
Wow, okay, good.
You know what people are going to be saying when they watch this pilot? They're going to be saying, motherfucking Pablo Schreiber.
Oh, right?
Oh, my God, from Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, who's he playing?
He's playing Mad Sweeney.
Sweeney.
Nice.
And he's a gigantic dude. Like, we saw him up on stage, and I was like, holy shit,
he's huge.
Yeah.
Okay. But he plays this. It's like
every Schreiber's brother, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that until you told me at this Q&A. But, I mean, it's like everything you wanted from the Cassidy character in Preacher, but, like, fucking awesome.
Oh, man, that's what Mad Sweeney should be. That's great. I've read most of this book. I've never actually finished it, and I really like a lot of the character stuff, so I'm excited to watch this.
I mean, this has Brian Fuller's stamp all over all the visuals throughout.
Nice.
The pacing, it's kind of twisty, and it really delves into the surreal. It feels akin to Noah Hawley's Legion that he's doing right now.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay. I mean, I feel like you mentioning Noah Hawley was not completely out of bounds.
The man had to pee, Grant. Yeah, you got to give him a little.
Actually, my big thing was I did think that Brian Fuller did Fargo for a second. I went on there, and of course, I didn't plug my TV podcast after that because, you know.
Good call. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
But like, I do a TV podcast where I mix up showrunners.
You know, interesting enough, he wasn't in the pilot, but you know, Dane Cook is credited for 8 episodes.
What?
Really?
Which is what most people.
I can see that, actually.
Orlando Jones is in this.
He's going to be playing Robbie. Yeah, Orlando Jones.
Gillian Anderson. Is she in the pilot?
She was not in the pilot, okay. And she was not up on stage, but Orlando Jones was. Crispin Glover was up on stage.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And weird as shit and wouldn't answer any questions.
Yeah, Crispin Glover.
I was like, why are you here?
Cloris Leachman is in it, too.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, worth getting stars for? Because let's face it, nobody has stars for anything else, really.
Yes. Okay. I think this has vision and scope, and if... I think most other showrunners trying to pull this off, I don't think I'd be buying it.
Yeah.
But Brian Fuller is the right guy to have. Just that intro sequence alone.
Oh,
Yeah.
It's...
They set the first 2 minutes, they set this show up, and you're like, nice. Damn, I know what I'm in for.
It's very macho, and I see it like fitting with Spartacus and other shows like that.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. Worth crashing Star Trek for?
I mean, I feel like he probably had a lot more restrictions on creativity going into a big known franchise like Star Trek than getting to take American Gods and do what he wants and start from the ground floor and work with such a big and rotating ensemble.
Yeah.
I get why he chose this.
Yeah.
You know, oh yeah, big time. Like when we first read the story about Star Trek, I was like, no way. But yeah, you watch this and you're like, no, this is going to be the thing. Dang, totally lost my train of thought.
Oh, well, it's badass. Definitely go see it by
legal
or whatever means.
We found out I look a lot like Brian Fuller.
Oh, really? Yeah,
total doppelganger.
Kyle looks just like Brian Fuller. Brian Fuller has longer hair right now.
Yeah.
So
that's the difference.
So we're not on mic right now, right? Because Brian Fuller, I don't think he's coming to ATX Fest this year. So we should set up a panel where we make him be Brian Fuller.
Oh, holy. I got his mannerisms down, too. I could totally do this. Fuck Star Trek.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Yeah, but Kyle, you're going to do a whole panel where you talk about all the work you did on Fargo.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen Fargo? That's my favorite show that I've done.
You see me direct that movie? I did a great job.
Let's move on to Trial and Error. This is a new little comedy on NBC with John Lithgow and a crew of other people. The lead guy looks like Dimitri Martin, but it's not Dimitri Martin.
No, it's okay. The lead guy is Nicholas DeGusto, which I was looking at his IMDb to see where you know him from. He was Harvey Dent in Gotham. He was Dr. Ethan Haas on Masters of Sex. Remember, like, the,
yes!
That's a major
that's
role
exactly
that he had.
Where I knew him.
He was also in Review, which I watch. And he was also on Heroes, of all things. But here's the interesting thing on his IMDb. He is the son of Deanna Ray and Alan DeGusto, who franchises Arby's restaurants.
Oh, really?
I just thought, like, that was a weird little thing to run across. Huh. Anyway.
He has the
You've been
meats.
All about the Arby's ads lately.
Yeah. So this show is, one of the producers on it is also involved in Angie Tribeca, Ground Floor that I loved on TBS. Shit, my dad says.
but you said that too quietly for the mic, I think, to hear.
Grounded for Life, New Adventures of Old Christine, which was this guy's got a pretty decent pedigree.
Yeah.
Also, Veronica's Closet.
This is the creator?
Yeah. And then Matthew Miller is the co-creator. And Matthew Miller was on, you're not going to believe this, Chuck.
God damn it.
He also worked on the recent Lethal Weapon series, worked on The 100, which we talked about last week, worked on Human Target, a few other things, but a decent pedigree here. And this is a show that's sort of a spoof of all the documentary murder shows.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's about this poetry professor played by John Lithgow, who's this weird dude, a little off,
a little kooky,
who seems to have thrown his wife through a plate glass window.
And murdered her.
Now, he says he's innocent, and this big city lawyer, Josh Siegel, played by Nicholas DeGusto, comes to town, and
he's an assistant.
Assistant. Lawyer. Just he's not. He's moving up in the world. He's definitely not the big lawyer.
Yeah,
he's like the
intern.
Yeah,
almost.
And he is confronted by their attorney, Jama Mays, is playing Carol Ann Keene, who is their. She's anxious to make DA, and so this is her big case.
Yeah.
She's also anxious to get in his pants, which is kind of hilarious.
Yeah.
And you, if you don't know who this is, big performance in Glee. She played the main female interest for the
teacher guy. And I know her from, The League. She played Trixie.
That's right.
Andre's ill-fated fiance.
Oh, that's right.
So I love her. She's great.
Oh, that was
and
a good
then Sherry Shepherd plays his assistant, who is face blind and doesn't know what anybody looks like.
Yes. She's dyslexic.
Yes. Numerous things keep coming up.
And she laughs at inappropriate things.
Stephen Boyer is playing his investigator, the sort of a local rednecky dumb guy.
I like this guy. This is a good role for him.
He's great. And he's been in a bunch of little things. He had a couple episodes in Orange is the New Black. He played Investor Centra Broker number 1 in Wolf of Wall Street. So remember that?
Did you guys ever see, he did this character one time where he was the least funny person in an improv group, but he did this really good Marty McFly impersonation, so they like let him stay in the group, but he wasn't funny at all.
Oh, really?
And then he would do the spot on, like, Doc, we gotta get back.
That was his claim to fame in the group.
Yeah, yeah, it was so funny.
And then playing Lithgow's daughter is Krista Rodriguez, who she has a number of credits. The only thing I know her from here is she was on Smash. I don't know which character. She was Anna Vargas. I don't remember that, but that's probably where anyone would know her from. Anyway, it's a really good cast, and it's got a little bit of that making fun of small town vibe, but also make fun of the city people who can't hack it in the small town.
Mm-hmm.
And the spoofery of like murder trials and the sort of celebrity culture and stuff that comes up around it. It's really funny. I loved this show.
I appreciate how they address that the documentary crew is there.
Yeah.
In a lot of the moments, they like, oh, there's a camera there. And it you know, the camera kind of fades away in like the office and Parks and Rec and all that. And it's just for like the interview part.
Yeah.
But here, maybe that's just for the first few episodes. You know, you have to acknowledge that like that's around before they become used to it.
Mm-hmm. No, they still like to do the talking heads and the pull away. And they do gags where like one of them will say, like the name wrong, and then they'll show the little name thing, Chiron, pop up. So it's like, it's like, no, this is the name. And like they're definitely playing with the conventions of the format, and that's part of the jokes.
Yeah.
No, I honestly could see this turning into like a new Parks and Rec.
Yeah, that's kind of the vibe I was getting too.
If they play their cards right.
So I was worried. There's four episodes out right now. I've seen all four. I think you saw two.
I'm two.
Saw the first one.
Yeah.
So, they're showing two episodes a week, which is usually like network burn off. They're like they're not going to make any more, and that may be the case. But it's doing well. Like in its time slot, it's beating out everything else. Everything else is Bull and Bones and Fresh Off the Boat and Legends of Tomorrow, but it's beating them pretty handily.
I've been seeing some good promos for them and articles talking about how this is like the new successor to Parks and Rec. Which I'm like, the good place is that, but you know, fair enough. You guys can have it too.
But it got a 1.4 in its first week, and then a 1.2 and a 1.1 with its second week, which is pretty solid, holding on to numbers. So I feel like we might see this thing stick around, and I hope so because it's really funny.
Cool.
It's not The Good Place.
No.
Good Place is amazing, and nothing is going to take that crown for best new comedy. But it's really funny.
Here's why I compared it to Parks and Rec. Parks and Rec had a thing where the first season they had to figure out who they were.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
This is like, fingers crossed, I hope what happens to Iron Fist, we'll get into that later. But I love that first season, but for the most part, it didn't take off. And it wasn't until that second season where they're like, oh no, here's our vibe.
Yeah.
And I can totally see this, like, once they kind of rest into the format and they, you know, figure out what they're doing, they've got everything they need for a really successful, really funny show here.
I actually think this is much stronger than first season Parks and Rec, though. I think they've got their vibe pretty well. Their cast is gelling. They know what each character should be about. Because you remember the first season of Parks and Rec, they didn't know what to do with Andy Dwyer. He was obnoxious as fuck.
Yeah.
They didn't know what to do with Chris Pratt. And they also didn't really know what to do with
Aziz Ansari,
Rashida Jones.
He was like, just a dick.
Like, they didn't really know how to deepen these characters. Whereas I feel like they've got elements of, there's some interesting character stuff to all of these characters.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. They hit the ground running.
Yeah,
impressive.
Yeah. Give it a look.
Yeah. Love over on Netflix dropped a couple weeks ago for its second season.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember us talking about the first season. I loved Love. The first season, I was really digging the romance between the characters.
Grant, you just love Love.
And I was excited to kind of just like dive into this. So I remember like I fired it up and watched the first three episodes like back to back. And then when I was able to get back from, I went to South by Southwest, Randy.
Yeah, you did, huh?
Yeah, without you.
See
you.
Anything good?
Yeah, yeah. Without you. and as soon as I came back, I just binged through the rest of it like that day.
Wow.
And I really enjoy this show.
Yeah, you like this show a lot more than I do. And I like this show, but I remember the first season as being like kind of up and down. I didn't fall completely in love with it.
Mm-hmm.
And
the name's there, guys. You know it.
And the second season, I watched the first episode back and I'm like, this is all right, but Gus is kind of a douche.
They're both douches.
And then
that's
a
thing.
As you watch a few more, you're like, oh, that's right. They both deserve each other.
Well, I was watching the first season and, you know, in the first episode, 100% with you. You're like, I don't buy this guy. Like, I don't think he would be like this influential in his friends. Mm-hmm. I don't think he would be dating girls that are this much more attractive than he is. And then like about, actually, I think it was the episode in season one where he's tutoring the actress.
Yeah.
And she's having to pick between the movies. Mm-hmm. And you're like, it was by that episode where I was like, no, he's one of those guys who he's got one of those personalities where if a girl talks to him long enough, she's going to be attracted to him.
Well, I figured out that, yeah, he's like a genuine, the whole Midwestern thing where he's not a country mouse. He's not afraid to talk to anybody. He's really friendly. He's really nice and really genuine. Now, that means that anyone who's a little complicated, he has trouble dealing with. Like, he and Mickey are a bad fit. Like, he and Birdie would probably be great together.
No, they went on a date. It was not great together.
Yes. But they, on paper, they look great together.
Yes, on paper.
Mm-hmm. And Birdie's my favorite character, by the way.
But he needs someone to conflict with him. Yeah. Birdie's my favorite character as well, but Julian Jacobs, her performance is the best on the show, I think.
She's fearless, and she's not afraid to play the asshole.
I love how, when you watch her, because I feel like she gives these standout performances in certain episodes where you look at some of the other characters and you're like, fuck, dude, you really should have showed up for work today.
Yeah.
And it's like, she just blows everyone away.
Yeah. And it really makes you realize, like, there was so much talent on Community. Yeah. Like, she did not get, like, her opportunity to shine, but, like, she was there pulling her weight just as much, if not more than the rest of those guys.
I mean, they basically made the word Britta for the dumbass asshole of the group.
And wait, she's so good.
That is so funny that that's where the show went, because if you remember in the first season, they almost played her kind of like the Pink Ranger, you know?
Yeah, she was the good girl, yeah.
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 Yeah. Well, and the other thing, I think they do good stories this season. The mushroom episode was fantastic.
With whatever his name, the guy, Randy.
I don't know, I can't remember that name, Grant.
I was like, it's something that reminds me of Creepy. What is
it? Something, Randy. It's something like a Britta.
You're such a Britta, Randy.
Was there a mushroom episode in season one, too?
There might have been, like where she was on mushrooms. I don't know.
I don't think so.
You know what? I thought I watched the first season. I may have watched the second season.
No, maybe so.
On accident, because I was new to this when you guys had brought it up that we were going to talk about it.
So did you jump in when they were like at the apartment and they got locked in by like a cops?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the second season.
Oh, okay, cool.
So you watched the whole second season. We did. Yeah. But you didn't watch the first season.
I got more to look forward to.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, that Shrooms episode was fucking amazing.
The Shrooms episode is, I actually messaged Grant at that point and said, okay, I just watched the Shrooms episode and I'm totally in. Yeah. And I believe what you wrote back was, that took you too long.
It did. Well, I mean, I liked Gus from the beginning because I think he was supposed to come across as the more accessible character.
Yeah.
She's drugged out. She's a dick to everyone. She's like a walking train wreck in the beginning. And like it builds up and then you see how can these two people date when they go to the Magic Castle episode in the first season? You haven't seen this, Kyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like,
I love spoilers.
It's such an episode where she's just so terrible to him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what was the appeal aside from maybe a woman paying attention to you?
Yeah.
Except for then you remember who his girlfriend was in the very first episode.
Yeah.
Girl from Other Space and AT&T commercials.
That was my girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
soon to be in the revival TV series.
See, but as long as we're talking about Gus's women.
And then the other girl.
The other girl, Briga Helan from Ground Floor, who I love. So my girl's in this show, too.
Come on. Nice. You're the only person who references Ground Floor. Like, everyone should know
I know.
That show.
And that's why she's going to have affection for me. Because I know her show. You two guys would be like, what's Ground Floor?
I've seen Wichita.
I loved you.
She's the actress that died in Wichita, the hot blonde chick.
Oh, nice.
I loved you in Wichita. They shouldn't have killed your character off. I'll just act like she's the actress.
Like when he does that twist where he cheats on her with him.
Yeah.
Her with her. Yeah. Whatever. That was where all of a sudden Gus changed for me. Like, and I recognized how he is problematic throughout their relationship as well.
Yeah.
But I thought that like how it plays off of itself, like back and forth between them this season. Mm-hmm. It's really fascinating because they're both like working to be better people and Gus's problems are like, hers are like really on the surface. You can tell like what her stuff is.
Yeah.
And his is a lot more subtle. And I really like how they just play off of those and how this is a troubled but fascinating relationship.
Yeah, that's true. There was some, the stuff where he's like trying to get back in with the director was just, and like, it was just cringe. And the funny thing is, like, I don't know that that guy wasn't trying to screw him over, but it may be that that he wasn't, and then he was misreading in his paranoia. Like, it's entirely possible to read it both ways.
Yeah.
But either way, Gus's like inability to commit to something and his desire to sort of weasel his way back into something that he lost, that he overthinks things.
He was a pushover in the relationship.
Yeah.
He was just letting Mickey like kind of control him because he. He had, in a way, I mean, it's a codependent relationship, which he finally ended up admitting that he's part of this problematic relationship, but recognizing it and trying to work on it and going to the AA class on her behalf, I thought was a significant sign of growth that I appreciate them showing in the show for the characters.
Although then he went and he's like, I did it and now I figured it out. He's very much the, I've done it. I've done the good thing now.
I get my merit badge.
Yeah.
Yes.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Rich Sommer, who plays Dustin, Mickey's ex, has that guy ever not played a douchebag?
No, I think so.
Every role he's ever played. He was in Mad Men.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The boyfriend Mickey cheats on Gus with.
He is always playing a douchebag. It's like that poor guy.
You know, two things I love about this show, all right? It made me say words that I thought I would never say, which is, I saw David Spade in a performance that I enjoyed.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah.
Right?
That is a thing that has happened in reality.
Yeah.
Trump is our president. David Spade was not bad. the other thing, I love the graphics for the title card, where the letters transform into things.
Yeah.
My favorite is the E turns into a stack of condoms and then turns into a couch being moved down the stairs. And I'm like... There's your analogy for love right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty perfect. Guys, check out season 2.
Yeah, it's really good.
All right, we're going to take a break before we get into the Marvel shows. That's a show.
So what he does is he takes his chi and he focuses it and makes his fist like unto a thing of iron.
Mm-hmm. And then he forgets how to find his chi again.
Well, he mostly uses it to open doors and break weapons.
Yeah.
You know what would be cooler than that?
What?
Anything.
So Iron Fist is basically a business drama that follows the Meacham siblings as they kind of navigate the Rand Corporation.
Yeah, and have to deal with a crazy homeless guy who does martial arts.
Two episodes. That's how long you're going to be going, stop, quit doing this.
How do they spend 2 hours of this show and not have a decent fight sequence?
I don't know. I don't understand it. You know what, though? They do have a couple decent fight sequences. They're all Colleen Wing.
Okay.
Actually, I was thinking that when you guys were, we were shit talking the fight sequence earlier off mic, and part of me was like, actually, that girl was pretty.
Yeah, the Colleen Wing. If you could cut it, if you can do a supercut of just the Colleen Wing show here, it'd be a much better show.
So Iron Fist, I'm assuming everyone who's listening has seen this, but Iron Fist is this Danny Rand character who is basically the white savior, adopting all sorts of Asian culture or appropriating it and bringing it to Western culture.
After Circe blew up
in Marvel,
Lancel, he was able to travel back to New York.
I have to stop you on this because I think we're getting two things going on here.
Okay.
The white savior thing is one thing, and that's a tough argument. I can piss off both sides of that argument because, honestly, I feel like Marvel should have cast Asian American because it would have been an easy win for them. But I also don't feel like there's anything wrong with casting a white guy because Iron Fist is a white guy and has been for 40 years.
Mm-hmm. You're such a white
guy. So I'm sorry. This is not cultural erasure. It's just
Samuel Jackson, Nick Fury used to be a white guy.
It's a bad call. I also think,
the character Danny Rand, which my experience is just from the Power Man and Iron Fist book, yep. which I love,
yep.
but I feel like there's something about this guy who is very much a white kid, but he was talking about this, like, I gotta harness my chi, and I gotta, yeah. you know, if only you could be one with yourself.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like...
Such a dumb fucking dude bro.
well,
and
yeah.
where did he but, learn his like, dude bro-ism?
That
kind of
is Danny there. Rand to me. And, yeah. like, if you met him initially, you'd be like, fuck this guy. But then after you got to meet him, you're like, oh, whoa, you're sincere about all this shit?
Yeah.
Like, that's dang, the thing. Fuck
that's,
this guy.
That's the thing. Nobody would be talking about this if Finn Jones had been the right guy for this part. Because... If you do a good performance, it's like
he was not the right guy. For
the ancient one in Doctor Strange. A lot of people were like,
and shave you know your what? Fucking shitty facial hair.
Yes, look like fucking Iron Fist. You got cast because you look like him, and you don't fucking look like him.
Then they put a beard on him and give him fucking 1990s. What do you call it? Justin Timberlake hair.
Yeah,
it's just gross looking.
The hair, whatever. Do the hair, but also if you're gonna do the Iron Fist, it should not look like a little glow light. It should not look like he's holding an orange glow light in his hand.
It should be flamey and yes, fucking terrifying.
It should look badass. And also, probably don't use it just to open doors.
Yeah, there you go.
It's the thing about this is I watched this show and I didn't hate it. I'm going to sound like I hated it. I didn't hate it. And the critics did a great job of lowering my expectations. I went through watching this thinking, this is not that far afield from the other Marvel Netflix shows. Mm-hmm. It's doing much for similar. But the thing is, like, there's 10 different Iron Fist shows you could have done. And any one of those would have been more interesting than one they did. Every time they had a chance to make a decision, they made the wrong decision.
I just kept watching this and thinking, you have this opportunity for Danny Rand to leave... Kunlun. You have the opportunity for him to leave, like, with purpose, so that we kind of like yeah. start off respecting the character. Yep. He could have left in order to investigate rumors of the hand growing something in New York.
Yep.
And that's why he goes to New York. And in the meantime, he also wants to see if he can salvage a corrupt Rand Corporation that's doing yeah. it in his name. You know, there all of a sudden it's like, this guy's coming here with a purpose and a mission, and we want to follow him on yeah. this path as he tries to navigate both the business world and fish out of water yeah. With these skills that he has, but he's never actually had to use them in the real world.
Right.
Right? And it's like, that's interesting.
Yep.
But instead, we get Goofus, who fucking left this place after getting these skills he doesn't know how to use. Yep. And then he goes to this other place, and the whole entire first episode was fucking dumb.
Yeah.
Everything that he did,
yeah.
I get why they were trying to kill him.
Yeah.
And they weren't wrong. And then... the rest of the series, you're supposed to like be like, oh, are the Meachums kind of buddy buddy with him?
Oh
at
my
times?
Gosh!
Even yeah. though, do you remember a couple days ago you tried to kill him twice?
Yeah. yeah, I started what writing all this shit down.
Me
like,
too. I have a
I'm like,
list.
Oh, I'm gonna tell everybody everything that's wrong with the show, and I ran out of paper, man. It's just like there's no point in pointing out every little thing because it makes no sense after the first episode
yep.
that he would have anything to do with any of these people
yeah.
who are like. His Vin Diesel family, you know, yeah. like throughout the rest of the show.
Yeah.
As
obviously they hate you. You know, and even once they figure out who you are, they hate you.
Yeah.
It's well, like, oh, that guy turned out to be a bad guy. Didn't yeah. see that coming.
Yeah. Ward Meacham, the Patrick Bateman younger guy who's got the drug issues. I didn't give a shit about his story.
You know what? I kind of liked him.
Really?
And I don't know if it's like just watching it all the way through. Uh-huh. I felt like he had. Him and Colleen had some of the best arcs of characters. And when he slams his hand in the door, he had the most interesting hand in a show called Iron Fist.
That's true. He reminded me of a mix between Bill Maher and Fred Armisen.
Like he does this, what was that scene he did? Where I was like, holy shit, that was like really intense. It was when he slammed his hand in the door and he went to try and get the drugs and he's just freaking out on the woman.
Yeah.
Like that was a seriously good and intense scene for Ward. And I mean, I felt like with like how it tells the story of Harold Meacham,
yeah,
and his fucked up relationship with his ghost dad who's terrorizing him for 13 years.
Yeah.
And he already was an asshole, but he's an asshole with like all this sort of pressure and a shitty dad.
Yeah.
It made sense how that actor played that character, and I thought he played him pretty well.
I really like that episode you're talking about, especially after that scene with the hand where where he's in the mental hospital and the doctor's like trying to talk to him, you know, and he's like, I know how this fucking works. Hi. And he's waving at the camera. Yeah. He's like, I'm just not going to say anything because I'm damned if I do, damned if I don't.
Yeah. He's just everyone off in his office.
Yeah. It's like this is a realistic point of the show.
There's a point where he teams up with Danny to go check out some warehouses.
Yes.
And this is after.
Oh, yeah.
And I hate almost everything about this.
Yeah.
Because it's so fucking stupid that, like, you know, hey, I just tried to kill you a couple times, but yeah, let's go do this. Yep. But I appreciate that Ward, at least the entire time, is just like, fuck you, Danny. I fucking hate you. Like, the entire time he's with him. Well, he does not like him, and he doesn't like the situation.
Here's the other thing that drives me crazy. There are, like, in the first five episodes, there are three or four things where, like, Danny has to go and hide his identity.
Mm-hmm.
At which point, you could maybe put on a fucking costume or some nod to it. Have him put on a headscarf. But no, he puts on a goddamn hoodie instead.
A black hoodie every time. Yes. A boring outfit. I'm like, do you guys want to do anything with color? Yeah. Neon signs in Chinatown. But
instead
like
of putting him in a superhero outfit, what do? They bring Rosario Dawson in here. It's like, do you remember we're in a superhero universe? Let's bring the nurse in. And she'll remind you.
Rosario Dawson's great here.
Is she?
Yeah, I think she's great.
Why does she keep stealing Luke Cage's Sweet Christmas line? I'm getting fucking sick of it.
She is
That's
great.
That's not your line.
Like, Michael Douglas is great in Ant-Man, all right?
Yeah.
He does good. But they make him deliver all the exposition in that movie.
Yeah.
Like, she is here to pretty much say, hey, you know, this is a franchise.
Yeah.
You guys heard of a Marvel before? I got some superheroes.
I also, by the way, if you're going to have ninja costumes.
Ooh.
I got so tired of him fighting random people.
The Triwizard tournament that he has.
Oh, God. I'll, at least they threw in a nod to Immortal Iron Fist with that Bride of Nine Spiders character, but.
Oh, she was terrible, though.
Yeah, I know.
The actress was, like, so hamming it up.
At least they nodded to the good comics, but that was, they didn't do it well.
I was like, do I hate her more than I hate how Harold Meacham is playing that character? Like,
At least Harold Meacham had cool hair.
Madame Gao is still cool.
Madame Gao was really great,
too.
And
I liked her.
Yeah.
Colleen Wing, though, dude.
Yeah.
Seriously, ooh, is the star of this show.
Yeah, she's great.
She's hot. She's... Oh my God. Like, so skilled. Like, her fight scenes were like, I don't know why they're filmed so well. Maybe she just actually has the physical talent for it.
Well, and she's also got a personality. She's got a little bit of that sarcasm. She's got a little fire. She's an interesting character in a way that Iron Fist is not.
Well, and I'd love to go back to something Grant said that I think it can't be understated, and that is, she's so hot. She's so hot.
In the comics, the Daughters of the Dragon are Colleen Wing and Misty Knight. And Netflix just give us that series right now.
Yeah.
There we go. I'd get it behind that.
There was a part I wanted to point out where Danny proves to Joy who he is with M&Ms.
Yep.
By segregating the brown ones out.
Oh, God.
Did that seem fucked up to anyone else?
Not until right now. And now I cannot unhear it. Like,
oh, that's our white privilege thing.
Wow.
We take the brown ones out.
Oh, my God.
Like, come on. Yes.
But you notice how they love the yellow
any
ones?
Any color.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. I wrote down some of the worst lines I heard in this. So Danny runs in. He realizes that Harold Meacham's alive, and he's like yucking it up with him.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, "Hey, maybe I could teach you kung fu sometime, huh?" Oh. I'm like, Jesus Christ! Who wrote that line into this script? And then there's this one that was like, "I'm telling you, he punched through metal with his bare hands." And then Madame Gao goes, "His hands? Are you sure it wasn't his fist?"
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And then better yet, the guy replies, "I guess." I'm like, the fuck?
You know what, Grant? I don't think that was her line. I think she just made that up on the spot, and he's like, I guess. Do we cut?
I guess.
Is she fucking with me? So, interesting. Iron Fist Season 1 on Rotten Tomatoes, with 50 reviews in, has an 18% score. The audience score with 6,165 user ratings is 83%.
Oh, did 4chan get in there and like, let's ramp that up for no reason?
And I've seen this from, I think the low critics thing lowered everybody's expectations so that everybody was like, this isn't, I've seen numerous people posting like things like, this wasn't so bad. I don't know why everybody hates it so much. We hate it so much because it's terrible.
Well, yeah. I mean, I saw someone else say, like, the show is pretty good if you just take the Iron Fist character out of it.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of that's the problem.
Is if, and the thing is, maybe, I don't know, maybe people haven't been looking forward to Iron Fist, but I like this character, and I've seen good stuff done with him in the comics, and I wanted a good version of him.
Well, and the thing is, I don't know that this character that we have in the show isn't the reason why the show's so bad. I think that's where everybody tends to be leaning, but I feel like the story is the real thing that kills just everything.
The writing is like, a big problem.
The writing changes episode to episode.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make sense if you're releasing the whole thing as like one bad. It's almost like they filmed it, watched the dailies, and then somebody came in and was like, oh, well, you got to do something totally different now.
Well, see, I think is this is one of those rare shows where you can spread the blame pretty evenly. The direction's bad. The fight choreography's bad. The costuming's bad, mm-hmm. or lack thereof. The casting is generally bad, with the exception of a few bright spots like Colleen Wing.
Mm-hmm.
The story and writing is bad. Like, it is bad across the board.
Carrie Ann Moss is pretty good.
Carrie Ann Moss is good. The people who have already been in it. Rosario Dawson is a good actress, and she does decent stuff.
She can deliver a couple funny lines there. Also, constantly going, what the fuck's wrong with you?
When Daredevil came out, I had no idea that the person who signed the bomb contract was a Rosario Dawson.
I know, it's kind of crazy.
Like, she just totally scored in every one of these shows.
That's another general problem I have with the Netflix shows. I've been sort of losing my interest in them as they keep going on, is that I thought this whole Defenders thing was that they were going to, like, you know, cameo in these other shows. Like, I thought Jessica Jones would show up in Luke Cage's show, and I thought Daredevil might show up in Jessica Jones, and that's why they were doing it in the order they were doing. Mm-hmm. And I thought we finally got to Iron Fist, we'd get an episode where it was like Power Man, Iron Fist, and Luke Cage and Danny met. But instead they're saving all that for Defenders, and I think that's a mistake because they feel so isolated from one another.
Yes, especially having what's her name? Rosario Dawson's character, Claire.
Yeah.
There. And I'm like, you know.
Yeah.
You like, know, Claire.
When Danny needs help and he's like, yeah, I'm going to take Colleen Wing.
Against the hand?
Yeah. She's like, you know what? I know Daredevil and a bulletproof guy. Maybe they should come with you. Fuck.
Help out here. What the fuck? I don't get it. There were like, the show gets progressively better, I think, as it goes along.
I'll say,
I didn't like the finale, but I think, like, you know, as it kind
of, at least we got the one cool, like, use of the Iron Fist. I was like,
yeah,
just
dude,
punch the fucking ground or just do something.
That one scene was like, holy shit, you guys blew your budget right there.
Yep.
And like, you can never do anything else cool with his fist. But that scene was like, that was just dropping even, right near the end.
Even that scene, it didn't really feel like something I'd seen in the Iron Fist comics. It actually felt more like what I'd seen on Legion, where like everything's just like floating around him and exploding in slow motion.
Well, the showrunner was interviewed and was basically talking about, he was shit talking Danny Rand. He was saying, he was like, yeah, he doesn't really have any powers. He does martial arts. He has an Iron Fist, but he's not. Basically, he was like talking about how boring the character was. And I'm like, you didn't understand him, and that's why he's boring. You made him boring.
Exactly.
And you gave him limited powers to start with to grow from, I guess?
You know, somebody I've compared Danny Rand to in the comics is Hawkeye. Yeah. He's one of these people where, on the surface, he doesn't seem that interesting, but is it Matt Fraction?
Yeah, Matt Fraction. Yeah.
Matt, but you give it to Matt Fraction, and like he makes him seem like fucking James Bond, like really cool and really like have some depth to him.
Hawkeye's one of my favorite characters, by the way.
Oh, nice. So do you love that jab I just made at him?
You just shit talk my favorite character. No, actually,
but you see what I'm saying.
Always,
like,
but that's the thing. I've always loved Hawkeye, but it's one of those that's a hard sell because he's a guy with a bow and arrow.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Fraction made him and did sort of this thing where he was kind of a lovable loser down on his luck, but you know. And it was, at first, I didn't like that take, but it's so good that he won me over with it.
Huh.
So, yeah, and Iron Fist is the same way. Iron Fist is a character I love, but he's had a lot of not great stories. And then Matt Fraction and Ed Brubaker came along and did Immortal Iron Fist. And I don't understand why Scott Buck and his crew did not look at that book and basically do that show.
Right.
I don't know. There's, like I say, there's 10 different versions of the show that could have been good, and instead they did this one.
It's so disappointing. Yes. Yeah, I'm like, I don't think I want to have to watch the second season. Well, I will.
But I don't. That's my question. is there going to be this? Is this the first Netflix show that doesn't get a second season? But I guess it's still popular on Netflix, mm-hmm. and it's got that huge audience rating. So despite the critics just lambasting it, will it get a second season? Will they change showrunners?
Yeah.
They're going to do one of two things.
Yeah,
they're either going to. Well, they're going to do three things. They're going to do another shitty season.
Yep.
They're going to do another season where they totally switch gears and hopefully make it better.
Yep.
Or here's what I think is probably going to happen. After Defenders, they're going to go straight into Power Man and Iron Fist. And because...
That'd be great.
They had... Well, here's the thing. I think they need to give us a good Danny Rand season before we can have that.
The problem...
Like, I don't think it would make sense if you take him in the season finale... I mean, granted, we don't know what's going to happen in Defenders, but like the story, like
isn't
I feel like
Luke Cage too cool to hang out with this version of Danny Rand.
That's the problem. You need a good Iron Fist to be to power exactly. buddy up with him. Yeah.
Episode two of what they call it? They didn't call it Power Man, did they?
No, it was Luke Cage.
Luke Cage. Episode two of Luke Cage, where he's in like the really nice outfit and like going around solving everybody's problems, like that.
Yeah, episode four, I think. Yeah.
Is it episode four? But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that is the Power Man and Iron Fist story right there. Like you just do that with a good Danny Rand, which we don't have quite yet.
So here's my pitch: in Defenders, Danny Rand has to train a new Asian American character from Kunlun to be the Iron Fist. And then he dies, and the other guy becomes the new Immortal Iron Fist, and he's cool, and he joins up with Power Man.
Can we just have Colleen Wing become the new Iron Fist now? she's there.
No, she has to be the Daughters of the Dragon. Don't take that away from me, Grant. It's all I have left.
All right, well, let's switch gears and go over to FX and talk about the penultimate episode of season one, because we're getting a second season of Legion.
So before we do that,
okay,
we didn't talk about Legion last week because nobody else was caught up on it.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about last week's episode and that dance sequence. Aubrey Plaza dance sequence.
I've been on Facebook today. I already know how you feel about the dance
sequence. Oh, my God. I love Aubrey Plaza anyway. I think she's hilarious. I had the hugest crush on Aubrey Plaza after that thing. That dance sequence with the red lighting and all that kind of stuff. That was so good.
You
don't remember this?
You don't remember this?
When she's being the Shadow King, basically, and she's in like, she's got like the garters and it goes like the red silhouette and she's like dancing around in his mind.
Essentially, it goes from a scene where she's standing there doing the therapist stuff. Then the next scene, no pants.
And she's like, just
the pants just disappear.
And she's just out there basically just having a great time in his head. It's like, and it is such a metaphor for the Shadow King. He's like, he has just won everything. He's just having a great time playing around in this dude's head. Pure id. How do you not remember that sequence? It was so good.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's Aubrey Plaza just looking damn
fun. And she was great. Aubrey Plaza as sort of the therapist was a fetish I didn't know I had.
Oh my gosh. And how they just have taken her and fucking just really given her something that she can work with.
Yeah.
It has made this show so much better.
She's so creepy.
She is. And also when they redid the first episode dialogue where they were watching who I now realize is the telekinetic. Who was in the chair drooling.
Yeah.
And then instead of, it was Ptolemos. I can't remember that guy's name. I can't remember the memory guy's name.
Yeah.
But it was him instead of Lenny. But they were doing the same dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking about the drool and all that stuff. And I'm like, oh shit, what was real? I don't know what's real anymore.
Yeah.
But that was last week and it was a great episode. And then we got to this week.
Wait, the guy drooling was, telekinetic.
He's the telekinetic,
he can move the rocks and shit. Yeah. And then this week was... Yeah. Oh man, like musical score. Oh shit. You know, one thing I really had a problem with Iron Fist is like, I wish that musical score was better.
Yeah. No fucking music in that show.
They have like this one like electronica song that sounds a little like Survive or something kind of going on there, but they don't use it to great effect a lot through that season. And it's so disappointing, especially when you look at how well music plays into Legion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just drives.
You know, one of my favorite musical like compositions from Legion, it's before the show starts and they're like, the following program is rated TV MLA.
Yep.
Have you guys paid attention to the music that plays in the background when that comes on?
No.
It is like this really strange, almost like a mix between like electro synth and like these violins played really quick.
Huh.
So it's like, take the X-Men theme or take like any of these like, you know, big, like larger than life themes.
Yeah.
Distill it down to just like a couple notes and then like kind of mix it up with some other stuff. It just sounds very like superhero-ish and also like creepy too. And I've noticed that now, seven episodes in, you hear it every time the show starts.
Mm.
And it's just like this really neat, it's not the theme, but it just like gets you ready for it.
Yeah. I also, the What was I going to say about this week's episode? Oh, well, Professor X.
Wheelchair! That's what I wanted to say this whole time!
I see his wheelchair!
And last week they made the reference to him saying, your daddy tried to hide you from me. I mean, they
fully embrace it now.
I love that he's Professor X's kid. I can't believe they did it.
Oh my, yes!
And that whole blackboard sequence where he's showing him fighting the Shadow King. Amal Farouk, they used his name. They called him the Shadow King. Mm-hmm. Man, I did not expect them to go as fully into the X-Men stuff as they did.
Really?
I was super excited that they did it, yeah.
I love Jermaine Clement coming in and getting to play a bigger role here.
Oh, that music, that sequence where he's doing the music to sort of build a shield around them.
Mm-hmm. He's building a musical shield. Is that like his ability?
I think it is. Their abilities
is just being a groovy cat.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, he's also telepath or something because he goes to the astral plane.
Right.
I will go, and if I'm going to put on my critic's hat, I will say the chalkboard scene, even though I loved it, especially the bit with David doing the British accent.
Yes.
And then he makes accent.
He's like, I'm your rational mind.
And then he even makes the joke like, are you trying to do a British accent?
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
I did feel like that scene, little heavy-handed. Granted, I just gotten through watching Iron Fist, where they can go and, you know, do a ton of story, and then with one bit of dialogue say, oh no, I'm now friends with the Meachums, even though they tried to kill me.
Yeah,
like, I did feel like they went and they told us all the stuff that Grant and I knew because you went and filled us in, you know, early on with kind of the history of the Shadow King.
Necessary info.
Yeah, I think you had to because
it did. In a very creative manner that they at least executed
it. But I did get the feeling that possibly between episode 6 and 7, they got the green light to use a bunch of names. Like, I think that Shadow King was going to definitely be in there, but it seemed like the Professor X tie-in might be up in the air.
Yeah, maybe so.
But now they've got the green light to just go ahead with it.
I also love they did a bunch of different jumping around using different perspectives. The black and white for the glasses, so just so they could see what was real and what wasn't.
And then moving into a silent movie.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah.
Yeah. Bringing in those graphics from the credit sequence, which to me, it seems like one of the biggest mysteries of the show.
Why there's also 80s stuff?
Yeah, like the show ends and it's like, well, you know,
it's like Mod Squad kind of. Yeah, I don't know what it is.
It's just this really strange thing. Like, I feel like it's going to be explained eventually.
But and then this episode, not only do they explain, they laid out the whole Shadow King thing and the possession thing and all that kind of thing, but they basically got everything wrapped up. Like, Shadow King's under control. They got the disc on him. You're like, wait a minute, what's going to happen? And then the bad guy comes back. That was so good.
Oh, and I hope I'm not spoiling it, but if I'm spoiling it, 5 minutes, come back. We'll be done in 5 minutes. No, the whole deal with the very end where the Shadow King and Lenny is like busting out. It's like, you just spent the whole season trying to get this guy under control, and now you're in a situation where it's like, fuck, we kind of need to
need him. Yeah.
Like,
He himself has the ability to zap them to other places.
He does, but he doesn't know how to use the powers the way the Shadow King does. The Shadow King knows how to use the powers.
But, and then this show, like, what is so brilliant is they just flip a switch, and now, like, the biggest threat is like kind of an ally.
Yeah.
Like, if anything, it's a mutual assured destruction. Like, if the Shadow King doesn't help them in the season finale, then they're all in trouble.
Is that what you guys think? It's going to have the Shadow King come out and help him?
I think the Shadow King's going to come out and help him, and I think he's going to have to fight him in the astral plane just like his dad did.
And I think that that'd be cool.
I think he's going to have to go in and basically have the psychic combat and put him away.
Well, here's where I think it's going to go. Well, my hope. I don't know. But my hope is that in the season finale, like, they do have, like, he does have to team up with the Shadow King, and they have to work together to get out of this current situation. Yeah. And then that sets up a theme that they carry on later on, which is, you know, this legion he has, these people in his mind.
Yeah.
Often they have conflicts, like, their goals are totally contradictory to his.
Right.
But that's where the story comes in. How do they work together? How do they, you know, reach this common goal?
Right. This was a fantastic episode of a fantastic show.
There was some editing parts, like, right after they blast back to their compound.
Mm-hmm.
They're, like, walking in the woods.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they're like, where's Birdie or whatever the lady's name is?
Yeah.
And she's back at the other place. It just, like, cuts to there, and she's walking around. But then it cuts back, and they're already there. And I'm like, wait, what the fuck is going on with the editing sometimes here?
I still think it's possible that we don't actually know what's real yet.
Really?
Yeah. Because, like you say, they call attention to it. Like, they call attention to, where is she? And then they cut away, and then they're there. Holly doesn't make mistakes like that. I think that's got to be deliberate.
Yeah, I'm like, on the
they're
same.
They're still in the mind, or?
Or maybe, or something. Well, I don't know.
I almost feel like, you know, David's core power, like himself, is this ability to alter reality around people. Yeah. Like, the way that he saved everyone when the bullet thing happened was... The only thing I know, we're back in the mental hospital.
Yeah.
And he created this whole world like it was nothing because that was... It's like when you first learn how to play guitar and you learn like one song and you play that one song good, but you can't do any others. He like has that one part down, you know? He can put everybody back in the mental hospital.
Yeah.
But, you know, figuring out the rest of it, that's going to be challenging. Yeah.
I'd be surprised if they made a mistake there. I don't know.
Like, is it some crucial scene they're going to cut back to in the final episode?
Maybe. We could get one big reveal that like none of this is real. It's all been in his head.
Don't do that to us. Yeah. I don't think they should. I think that'd be a mistake.
Which I will tell you, here's what makes me think they're probably going in that direction. They killed off a main character in this last episode. Hopefully you've seen it if you're still listening.
He was a bad guy, though.
He was a bad guy.
That was gruesome.
Yeah.
Just the blood trickling down like in slow time before like it caught up.
Yep.
That was all like that whole Inception-y type bit to it. Yeah. I was like, this is fucking great.
Yep.
But yeah, it's hard for me to buy that he's dead.
Really?
Especially after they went and brought back another villain from the beginning of the series.
Yeah.
Like, that guy seemed like somebody, he never got a good moment this season.
Although he could be a new manifestation inside of
his mind. Of course that's what they're going to do. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Duh. Yeah. Of course. And then like, Shadow King kills him. Then he was in his head when they killed him. Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got a question, which maybe this is more appropriate for next week's finale episode.
Yep.
We can jump the gun here. We're going to have a season two. What character from X-Men would you like to see join Legion season two?
Oh, man. You got it? What's your answer?
I think it's all of our answers.
What? Professor X?
Patrick Stewart, yeah, of course.
Professor X would be amazing.
Like, if Patrick Stewart was totally on... Because here's the thing. You look at Fargo's cast, it's like they can bring movie stars into this, like, if they want to.
So,
Patrick Stewart's definitely on that level, if you ask
me. I have another answer. Ooh. Because Professor X would be cool. But, and this is where, when this comes from the comics, there's a guy named Forge.
Oh, I know Forge.
Okay, so Forge is and it's an interesting character because he's Native American. He was like this big weapons designer for DARPA. He was a Vietnam vet. He like called down demons to call an airstrike to save his buddies in Vietnam. Like, there's all this weird stuff that goes. He's got this mystical thing, his mutant powers to invent stuff. He's got this, and he and Legion had sort of a relationship where he built this thing to help Legion manage his personalities. And so if you brought him in as someone who's trying to help Legion, and they've got that carry dude to sort of build the little thing, so they may not need him. Mm. But I would love to see a version of Forge on TV done by Noah Hawley. I think that'd be really cool. You could get into somebody's head, like, what's it like when your ability to invent is a mutant power, not any study you've done?
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Ah.
So. Mine's Morph. I want to see Morph.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You know who could play Morph? Brett from Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great.
Morph.
Yes, he would.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, that's super exciting.
Have a New Zealand accent?
And as long as we're doing that, we need to bring in Kristen Schaal playing somebody, too.
Yeah, please. And Gail.
And Gail, yeah.
For it's Breaking Bad.
Flight of the Conchords reunion.
Oh, wait. Yes. Who is Kristen Schaal's husband who's on Billions now?
Gail.
Oh, that's Gail. Okay, sorry. Yeah.
Yep.
All right, guys. Hey, if you guys want to hear more about Iron Fist, at least episodes 1 through 3 this week, or if you want to hear more in-depth discussion of Legion's episode, please head on over to MarvelTVBinge.com or PermanentRCRD.com.
PermanentRCRD.
And here's the thing about their show, too. It comes out after ours, so they hear everything we say. They say totally new stuff.
Yep.
Do they hear Mike, do they like listen to us and like, we can't repeat that?
That's not...
I hope not.
That's my guess. I've been on the show once, and the thing was, I was floored by the amount of stuff they talked about that we hadn't even thought about yet.
We just address the surface level stuff.
Yeah, we're just Mike watches deep dives, man.
Yeah.
Getting into it.
So go check that out. And until next week, guys.
TV Dudes out.
The TV Dudes is an independently run podcast and a member of the Permanent Record Podcast Network. We are exclusively listener supported. If you'd like to help us out, please go to patreon.com/TV Dudes. You can like us on Facebook and Twitter at TV Dudes and help us out on iTunes by giving us a 5-star rating and writing a review. To find out more about us, go to thetvdudes.com and permanentrcrd.com. I'm Grant Davis. Thanks for listening.